Pat Project family, how's it going? And listen up, we talk about meat and nutrition all the time on this podcast, from the carnivore diet, keto, low carb, IFYM. And the cool thing is that we've partnered with a great company, Piedmontese Beef. Yes, it's beef. And the great thing about Piedmontese Beef is this: no matter if you're someone who's dieting on low fats, high fats, carnivore, any diet, they have different types of cuts of steak that are going to fit your diet perfectly. From the flat iron that has, Andrew, what is the macros on that thing?
So that one has 46 grams of protein and only 4 grams of fat for the entire steak.
And if you want fattier cuts, they have ribeyes, center cuts. They have literally everything for no matter what diet you do. So you can't use the excuse of your diet and tell yourself that you can't eat red meat. So, Andrew, how can they get Piedmontese Beef?
Yes, man. So that's at Piedmontese.com. That's Piedmontese.com. At checkout, enter promo code POWER for 25% off your entire order. And if your order is $150 or more, you get free 2-day shipping. Again, Piedmontese.com, promo code POWER. All links down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
All right. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Before we get to talking about DK Metcalf, which we need to talk about this once again.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is a hot topic of conversation. Everybody wants to know how they can look like DK Metcalf, sprint like DK Metcalf, have a nice NFL contract like him, and eat 3 bags of candy every day.
And a coffee. Don't forget the coffee.
Oh, yeah. Well, the coffee's probably burning all the fat off, right?
Yeah. That's how caffeine works, you know? The chemical structure of caffeine when intook on a fasted state is actually very beneficial for keeping body fat off.
Right to stew. You know? Burns body fat.
And he also mentioned, you know, he doesn't eat that candy until later in the day post cardiovascular work, which means that his body just absorbs the glycogen from the candy and he puts it back to use the next day. So it makes a lot of sense why DK Metcalf is the way he is.
I think it has a lot to do with like overall habits. And what something I wanted to mention and bring up just in the beginning here for a bit is
– and I was fucking with you guys. I just have to say that.
You know, we have some decent habits here. Like we just went on a walk. Sometimes we podcast and then we walk and then we podcast again. The walk is a little bit like a cup of coffee for us. A walk is a little bit like a little wake up for us. And it's also just a nice habit to go to.
Yeah.
But it's of no coincidence that Nsema chooses exercise – even more so than Andrew and I. Like, I exercise a lot. I move around a lot. I love it. I run. I lift. But before we did our first podcast today, you're like, I'm going to go in the gym and jump rope. And I think you jumped rope for literally like 3 minutes. And you just – but, like, I've seen you do that a lot. Like, I go into the gym a lot. Andrew goes into the gym a lot. But it seems like a way for you, because maybe of your soccer background as a kid, just the amount of activity that you've had – maybe every day you're like, I need to express some of this. I need to move around every day. Otherwise, it's going to make me nutty. And so what is it for you? What do you think compels you to want to move so much? Because I'm imagining that someone like DK Metcalf or some of these guys that we look to where we're like, oh, he's just shredded because of X, Y, and Z excuse that we want to insert. But these guys, these individuals, they're exercising a lot. And there is a calorie equation that can explain at least some of it.
When I don't move, I don't feel that great, or when I don't move enough. And like, it's like my body has this internal trigger of like, dog, go do something. You know, you always say motion's the lotion, and that's how like I feel all the time. So like, you know, if the day's gone by and for some reason I haven't done much, I have to go either get outside, go do something, take a walk, work out. Because I know, like, I know how good I feel after I move around. So there's this thing that's like, just go get some type of movement in. Go get some long range movement in the gym in, as far as lifting or jump rope or whatever.
You just, and for you, you might feel like you need to do that maybe a couple times a day.
Yeah, quite a few times a day. So I'm actually really happy I have those base blocks things at home.
Right.
Because I can literally just hop on there, do some dips, do some L-sits, do some just whatever. And it's there. Kettlebells too. Like, I'm always touching these things. So it's just a habit.
Is there any part of it that ever feels like a little forced? Like, even going to jiu-jitsu, is it like, well, I got goals in jiu-jitsu, so I don't know if I can go. But any of it ever feel that way? Or does it feel like or does it always feel pretty good? Like I should go do this.
You know, we were talking about that earlier, and I was trying to think about like when I started jiu-jitsu too, did it ever feel like, oh, I got to go to jiu-jitsu again? And there's a period of time, especially when my body wasn't as used to it, where my body was super fatigued. But I always, like, even when that was happening, I always wanted to go to jiu-jitsu. And I always want to go train in the gym because obviously I enjoy those things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can understand if somebody's like doing a workout plan that they don't like if they're doing movements that they're just, I hate doing this or whatever.
Yeah, sometimes you got like a program, like a schedule. And sometimes there's a couple things on there that kind of hurt or they're kind of annoying, but you have a competition coming up.
Yeah, right. So those are just things that you have to do. So they have this level of resistance. But with the things that I do in the gym, I just have things set up that everything I do, it attacks all the goals I have, whether it's like my legs or upper body or whatever. I'm doing things that I enjoy that attack those goals. And that's why for me, there's personally no resistance into going and doing those things. Like, I mean, I would assume even with you, even though running wasn't always easy, there was probably, I don't know if I'm safe in assuming this, but there's probably minimal resistance in you going and doing it, even though you weren't like, it wasn't perfectly comfortable.
What I've learned is that if there is resistance, then something's probably a little off. Like I'm not eating enough, or I've been doing a little too much more recently, you know, like that, those are things, cause that is really rare for me to be like, oh, I don't want to have to. And I might have, like when I get done with this podcast today, the first thing I want to do is like, I just want to leave. I want to go home. But at the same time, I did run already this morning. So if I went home, it wouldn't feel like a loss or anything. I did some of my stretches. I got some stuff in that was productive. But I also know that I won't be super proud or super pumped about my output for the day if I go home. Because usually once I go home, I just eat, I kind of hang out, and then it's time for bed. So it never really feels like a real struggle. And that's why sometimes I get a little frustrated when I hear people trying to promote like how much of a tough guy you are for buckling down on something that you already love.
Yeah.
I understand the mindset sometimes because, yeah, like, okay, your calf hurts or this hurts, that hurts. And so then you still go and run or you still go and do the thing. But if you didn't want to do it, you wouldn't be doing it. Like, you're in the middle of it and then you're yelling at me about it. And I may be a guilty party. I may have shared a similar message at times. But after I've been thinking about it more as I got older, I'm just like, these are things that I actually, at the root base of all this stuff, I really actually love this a lot.
And you get to. It's not that you have to. You get to. You have the privilege of being able to go do that. One thing I want to mention, too, is like recently when I did that little thing to my back and we had Chris Kodowski work on it, you know, I had to not go to jiu-jitsu the next day. I really wanted to, but that day I was like, it's not a good idea. Because if I go and I do something, I might be out for a longer amount of time. So we're not saying that, you know, even when we're at potentially in a situation where our body feels like it's at risk of injury, we're still going. Because in those situations, we adjust. Mm-hmm. But outside of those special situations, I'm figuring out something. If I can't go to jiu-jitsu, I was still doing something in the gym that would allow me to expend in a safe way. And I also really do want to, what you mentioned right there, you see it a lot in like some fitness stuff and some bodybuilding stuff, even powerlifting. And you see, it's like people are talking about these things as if they're painful, sacrificial, hardcore experiences. When I was going through my bodybuilding prep, I wasn't sacrificing shit. There are times it felt hard because I was in a deficit, but at the end of the day, it's like, I'm doing this to myself. And it's to get, you know, it's to get on stage, but it's not some wild, crazy thing. I didn't look at it that way even back then. And it shouldn't be portrayed that way. You know, it's you're getting ready for a show. You're getting ready for a meet. You're getting ready for a competition. You're going in and training, and it's just what you need to do.
It's only as difficult as you want to make it to be in your mind.
You don't have to make it difficult.
It doesn't have to be. And you know, going back to like, you know, thinking about like the greats, you know, you're going to have Ronnie Coleman and you're going to have these guys. Ronnie Coleman's a great example because Ronnie Coleman is like super happy and super nice. Mm-hmm. And like, he's like lightweight, you know, he's like making kind of like jokes. He's got 800 pounds on the bar. He's talking about the weight being light.
Yeah.
What an amazing mindset. And, you know, I'm sure that Ronnie Coleman has talked about hard work before, but like, I've never really heard him. He's just motivating because he's such an animal.
Uh-huh.
And the work that he just happens to be doing and is he puts really
out
hard.
He puts out a lot of intensity. You know, he's a guy that he wants to put the work in. But is the work really hard? Like, it's not hard because he built himself up to be able to adapt to those kinds of weights and that kind of intensity. So therefore, when he got there, you know, just like someone getting a black belt in jiu-jitsu and stuff, like, when you're thinking about it when you're younger and when you're newer, you're going to think, man, that's really hard. How do I ever become like one of those people? But then you become one of those people and you're like, that wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
And it sounds like – I was going to use the R word there for a second. It sounds
ridiculous.
It sounds ridiculous to think that. But you look at Ronnie Coleman squatting 800 pounds, deadlifting 800 pounds. It just – lightweight, it doesn't look hard. It just looks like this is part of the process.
Mm-hmm. What's the guy in the back doing? Mm-hmm. Oh, he's holding the guy. Got it.
The guy in the back is rocking some really nice shorts.
Those booty shorts are real tight.
Brian Dobson, I think, was one of his coaches.
I think we're bringing that style back.
We need it. We need it back.
Yeah. I see some bodybuilders. Actually, I only saw a few people wearing crop tops.
Mm.
That's something that, I mean, I wear shorts that are short, but I don't know about the crop top, dog.
Some dudes wearing crop tops?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That was like around
Russ
like
Swole in, was wearing. He was doing the crop top for a little bit.
That was like a 90s thing, like football players would wear.
And he was a football player. Russ was a football player, so.
Jesus Christ, Ronnie Coleman was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. God, I love that guy. Yeah. Anyway, let's get to DK Metcalf. Shannon Sharp was talking about DK Metcalf. I just wanted to bring some of that up because there's people that are on one side of the fence with their exercise where it's the last thing they want to do. They're having a really tough time getting into it, getting involved in it. When they do have an energy expenditure, it might feel exhausting. It might feel difficult for them just because they haven't gotten to the other side. There's a lot of us that are on the other side of it, and we enjoy exercise. Maybe it's something that's been instilled in us when we were young, and therefore we feel a need to move around a lot. So DK Metcalf, in some of this explanation of his diet, like what's being missed is like this guy works out a lot, and he has worked out a lot. He's been doing so for decades. He's also one of a kind. Like he is a damn near Olympic-level sprinter in the 100 meters. He seems to be like an unbelievable specimen. So some of the rules that apply to everybody else, there might be some rules that maybe don't apply to him directly. You know, maybe there's certain things about his body that are going to be slightly different. Slightly different. But what about all the years he spent working on sprinting? What about all the years he's been in sport? What about all the years he spent lifting? I think people just want to – they just want to read into this and be like, he eats candy and he's shredded.
Mm. You know – real quick about that rules thing that you mentioned, man. I think all the same rules apply to BK that apply to everybody else, and we'll get into what he's doing there. But when people hear it, they'll be like, "That's ridiculous." But you know, he's when he mentions his practices that he goes to, all the things that he does. One thing is like as you do something over time, physically it gets easier. You don't burn as many calories when you do it. He's been playing football for a long time. He's been doing a lot of these things. So like naturally, he's not going to be, even though he's explosive and he's wild, he's been doing this for probably over a decade. So he's used to these athletic movements, these things. They're done in a way that doesn't break his body apart as it would be for somebody who just started doing things like that. So you got to understand now, like he doesn't need to have crazy amounts of, you know, food or whatever right before he goes to exercise. He's used to it. It's part of him. It's what he does. So I just want to say that before we get into this.
Indeed. And of course, just from a genetic standpoint, like some people can hold more muscle mass. Like this is a very big individual. He's 6'3", 6'4", and like 240 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. Kevin Garnett's podcast. And your diet. One cup of coffee, two cups of coffee.
Just one.
One cup of coffee, 3 to 4 bags of candy in one meal. Is that true?
Oh, I don't have time to lie.
Hello. So you wake up in the morning.
Right.
You get a cup of coffee.
Right.
Okay. Are you eating anything with that cup of coffee? Are you eating grits, eggs, oatmeal, bacon, pancakes? What's with the cup of coffee? Just a cup of coffee.
It's just a little latte. Okay. A large latte.
Large latte. Okay. So then you go work out?
No, I've already worked out.
You've already worked out. So you worked out fast. You do fast workouts.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, get your latte, sit down, watch a little TV. Maybe you catch it up on Snowfall, something like that. You know, Ozark, you watch a little TV. You eat again. So what time do you work out?
I wake up at 6, work out at 7 to on the RS. So normal Monday looks like I wake up at 6, work out at 7 to like 8:30, drive like 30 minutes, work out again from like 9 to 10.
Mm. Hold on. You work out from 7 to 8:30?
Yes, sir.
So what's that workout entail?
This is my physical therapy.
Okay.
So it's...
Oh, okay. You do it. That's PT. That's PT. PT. Just for your foot.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you drive 30. Do you eat anything?
No. Then I drive 30 minutes and then I upper body lift.
Yeah. See, that's your problem. You're not efficient. You ain't fueling yourself. Well, man, I don't care what type of car you got. You got to put gas in it.
I'm not a car.
Yes, you are.
I'm an alien.
Well, see, just think of how big an alien is. How are you more freaky of an alien?
Yeah, I've been doing this since I was like almost in college.
Here's the thing. Sometimes people can do the wrong thing for an extremely long
time. Right, I can understand that. Well, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You don't think it's broke. What if you tried it? See, that's the thing about training. You have to be willing to go outside sometimes, do something different to see. What would it hurt to see if I ate, just say 500 calories?
It don't last long with me. Like
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're not fueling your body enough. As much muscle as you have, you got to fuel it.
I ain't missed a game in the league yet, so this is what I'm banking on.
No, it's not about that. I believe you could be more efficient. I believe you could be better. I do believe. I believe if you went and sat with a nutritionist, got your work done, your blood work done, what you should eat, how much of it you should eat. I believe, DK, I believe you could take your game to the next level. I mean, you got to think about it now. The elites of the elites, and you are. But if you want to get to that LeBron, that upper stratosphere, you got to do it different.
That's because you said that I'm going to show you how to do it my way.
Who, me?
No. I'm going to do it my way, and then okay. I'm going to reach.
Okay. All right. I'm just...
I love that.
You got to diet like a 10-year-old. You do realize you're a grown-ass man, right? I mean, if I came over to your house and I saw this candy, I'm like, oh, this dude got like 4 or 5 kids. All this candy.
Look, I will say, I'm going to change up my diet a little bit. I change it up.
You know what to do.
Oops. That was cool at the end where he was like, I'm going to change it up. Like, he's listening to Shannon Sharp, which mm-hmm. is awesome because Shannon Sharp is a legend and a Hall of Famer. And so he's got the credentials behind him.
And also a freak in his own right. Yeah. Shannon Sharp now, he looks just as good.
Like, and Shannon Sharp was part of that, the Denver Broncos mm-hmm. team in the late 90s that they had a lot of influence from EAS, the supplement company back in the day. Run by Bill Phillips. And so I think that they were on to bodybuilding style diets a long time ago, you know, having some good complex carbohydrates, some good sources of protein, and obviously enough fat to where you can perform well enough to where you're also not gaining body fat. Mm-hmm. And you look at Shannon Sharp, he still is in amazing shape.
Yeah.
But DK Metcalf, you know, what they're kind of leaving out a little bit, which you're not, I guess what people aren't focused on is like, what is this meal that he has? They just focus on the candy. And originally when I heard it, I thought they said that he eats the candy, has the coffee, and it was part of like one meal. But after I listened to it again, he has a meal additionally to that. So it's not like his meal is candy and coffee. Like that, obviously, your luck would run out very quickly.
Yes,
if that was the case.
Yeah, because he's fasting throughout the day. Then he has whatever 3-4 bags of candy is. Like, what does that eat? Who knows what that means?
I think I heard
Starburst
on one other thing where you mentioned this, the KG podcast.
Got it. Okay, so then it's like maybe if he had 3 or 4 candy bars, they would just be like the bars. Like, so he's having 3-4 bags of candy. It's
bags
like
of candy,
like a bag of like gummy bears or something.
And candy bars would be different because you might be talking about like something that has fat and carbohydrates in it. Not that that would cause anything different to happen either if the calories were still controlled. But If he was eating like Snickers or something, that could push him over every day, and maybe he wouldn't be as lean.
But that's the thing. Even if he did, I just don't think it's enough.
Nah, it's not enough.
It's not enough. And that's where, and Sammy, you were talking about, well, we don't know what that one meal is.
Yeah, dog. It's like a lot of people are chiming in, especially in the fitness community. People are commenting on this being like, this is why he's on drugs. Obviously, he's on drugs. And okay, like, all right, you guys who think that, there's no whatever. There's no talking in that sense, because that's the belief there. But like, this guy, he's probably having a pretty sizable meal, like a pretty decent meal. And if there's anything that like we figured out, you know, since we've been doing a lot of fasting ourselves, and I never would have thought it was possible either, but if I have one big meal in the evening and I wake up the next day and I have some electrolytes or whatever, I can have a decent workout and I can do some jujitsu and I can have another big ass meal that evening and feel good. So it's not something that is common, because not a lot of people, DK pretty much, he said he does fasted workouts. Most people in the sports realm don't even experiment with that because fasting is something that a lot of people are like, you can't perform well if you're fasted, right? And I can understand why, but he's one of those athletes that applies it and it works for him. And I'm assuming that meal is a good meal. A big guy like that can fucking eat.
Sometimes these athletes too, like they're sold to us as like, this is what they're good at. And then the guy, of course, he's not allowed to be good at anything else. Mm-hmm. He's not allowed to be smart. He's not allowed to have good ideas about how his own body performs. He's just this.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah. But if you listen to what he fucking said, it was really intuitive. He's Sharp's like, why don't you just have like 400 or 500 calories? Like, and somebody could say that about either one of us. Why don't you have a couple hundred calories for your exercise? And we could sit here and try to figure out whether that's better. Like, it might be more optimal. But his response was, that just doesn't last that long with me. That's fucking amazing. That's kind of brilliant, because what I'm interpreting there is that he's just saying, like, that's just going to be burned up super quick anyway. It's not going to necessarily impact the workout that I'm about to do. And we could argue whether it can or can't. I don't know what studies show or whatever. But for him, he's like, that shit just evaporates. I don't know, like, we've been experimenting with fasting for a long time. And if you have breakfast, sometimes you're like, holy shit, did I eat today? Like, you're like, holy shit, I'm really hungry today.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's different? You're like, oh, I did have breakfast. That's what, like, so what he's saying is actually kind of accurate. You put something there, your body's probably going to want to use it and burn it. Now, does it give you more energy for the workout? I don't know. But I think that sometimes with these athletes, these outliers sometimes, I think that people think that they don't know what they're talking about. But this guy knows exactly what he's talking about. And I think he has felt it out for himself and he's found what feels good to him. Now, can he do better on the diet? Is the candy like kind of pointless? Maybe, but also if it makes him happy. Sounds like he lives a hell of a life. Sounds like he seems like he's very disciplined in a lot of ways. So if he has the candy, makes him feel good, hits you with some dopamine after some hard practices, sounds like, hey, go for it.
Yeah. Like physical therapy, another practice, goes home, probably has another, like has the candy or whatever. It's like the guy's putting in consistent work. And yeah, I mean, there probably are ways that he could improve upon it. But at the end of the day, like he is where he is doing what he's doing. Right. So everyone's going to say it's like, it's drugs, it's this, it's that, but like.
But they're not even saying the right drugs. Like, I'm looking at the comments and people are like, hold on, let me pull it up really quick. I'm an alien. Translation, I use HGH. How the fuck is HGH going to help be like that? It's like, people don't even know.
Yeah, I think people really underestimate how long some people have been doing things, you know? Especially if, like, you know, he's an athlete. He's probably been playing sports since he was a fucking kid. Like, people underestimate that shit. And then they think that everyone works with the same template. You know what I mean? Like, his template 5 years ago is different than his template now. And his template right now will not work for you. But there could come a point where that template actually, it could work. Because, I mean, I'm not saying I'm DK Metcalf, but I could do that because I understand what's working. I don't understand what's going on there. As long as the meal in the evening is enough food, you could do that. You know you could because you know how much you need to eat in the evening. Yeah. So you could eat in the evening, wake up the next morning, have a coffee.
I'm going to do it.
Probably some probably some electrolytes.
Let's go get some candy.
Go on your run. Do some physical therapy, right? Mm-hmm. I know you probably wouldn't, but you could have a bag of candy or two and then go do something else and then have a big dinner and be okay.
Absolutely.
Because, again, we understand how this works. So
The candy, I don't know if I mentioned it off air, but it just doesn't have any fat in it. So it's like there's hardly any calories. And even three or four bags of candy. Now, it could depend on the size of the bags of candy, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know if he's going to Costco and loading up. But the videos I saw of like the bags of candy that he eats, they're just like those small ones you get at gas stations that have the Starburst in them and stuff like that. So I don't see anything wrong with what he's doing. Is he leaving stuff out? You know, is he like not sharing with us that he has like protein shakes and like probably has some other good habits? And I'm sure there's probably some other stuff in there that he's just like, now it's a thing, right? Because he mentioned his diet and now it's a thing. And now it's like he may as well.
Someone needs to make a video doing the DK Metcalf diet and doing workouts. That'd probably do pretty well. There we go. We got a million view video for you.
Will Tennyson should probably do that shit. Will Tennyson. He would crush it too. But yeah, I mean, but can you guys seriously do you not think that he could improve though if he were to ditch the candy and then have, I don't know, an extra meal?
I can only look at personally the way my body responds to candy. If I have that much sugar, I'm going to knock out. Like I feel tired. Mm-hmm. I have to. If I eat
so candy, if he's doing it at the end of the day, it might not be a problem.
Exactly. It's like for me, if I had like a bag or two of candy, I'd feel sleepy. Like I'd want to go to sleep.
Sounds like that is when he does it, right? Like after he's done with everything for the day, right?
Yeah, that's what he makes it sound like. So like, you know,
a good way to wind down.
It's a good way to wind down for some people.
Hey, I know you're enjoying this episode, but listen up. We partner with Merrick Health. They're a telehealth network owned by Derek for More Plates, More Dates. But literally, the amazing thing about Merrick Health and getting your labs done with them is that when you get your labs done, you work with a client care coordinator that goes over your labs and gives you specific supplementation or nutrition protocols or potentially hormonal protocols for your levels. The problem with a lot of these other telehealth networks is that when they do these things, they give everybody the same exact things, which actually can hurt you long-term more than help you. Andrew, how can they get it?
Yes, that's over at MerrickHealth.com. That's M-A-R-E-K health.com. And if you already know what labs you want to get at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT10 to save 10% off all of those labs. If you don't know where to start, head over to MerrickHealth.com/POWERPROJECT. And you guys will get directed straight to the Power Project panel that has 26 different labs that will cover everything you need. And at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save $101 off of that panel. Again, MerrickHealth.com, links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's anything, like, nutrition is weird. Like, I think that if your nutrition doesn't, like, fuck you up, like, if your nutrition doesn't hurt your sleep, and if you're not, like, malnourished and or overeating excessively, I think the rest is fairly nuanced, and it's really difficult to say, like, what would work really well. Powerlifting was a crazy example of this. I mean, there were guys at Westside that, like, rarely got 100 grams of protein in a day. Mm-hmm. They just ate so much, like, junk that they didn't even have room.
Were they kind of fat, though?
Yeah, no, they were fat, but performance, they were very fat. But performance-wise, they lifted like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that made Louis Simmons just think, like, nutrition didn't matter at all. We've heard John Donaher talk about some of that before, where he doesn't think the nutrition matters at all. And obviously, we're on a different – we don't believe the nutrition doesn't matter at all. But it's kind of hard to say, like, are you going to have more or better energy – because you ate a very specific way. I don't think the human body works that way. I think that the human body's not like, this is a horrible carbohydrate. What's this decision about? Let's all freak out. I don't recognize what this is. Therefore, when we're asked to burn sugar, we're not going to utilize you because you didn't come from a potato. You didn't come from fruit. You came from fucking Starburst. Mm. So you go over there and you store as fat. You're just going to hang out over there, and you're never going to be released. You're never going to come out of your room. I don't think the body doesn't work that way. The body will grab onto like whatever. So if you ate some fucking pizza, your body's going to utilize the pizza for energy. Will it use it as efficiently for someone who's running 100 miles as a potato or rice? I would love for someone to try to prove that to be a wrong idea. Like, I don't see how it wouldn't. I guess I could say it that way. Now, again, if the pizza is fucking you up because you have autoimmune disorders and because you're not sleeping well, then we might have a problem. If you're not getting in proper nutrition because you need the nutrients, then you might have a problem. But other than that, like, as much as we love nutrition, I don't know how much it matters.
For a person that's like trying to pay attention to their body composition.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, okay. So the reason I asked you about those power lifters, I'm like, were they fat?
Oh, they were fat.
They were fat, right? But in that sport, your body composition isn't the thing that you're competing against. You know what I mean? Isn't the focus. It's like, how much weight are you loading on that bar and what's your total going to be? So no matter what you look like, you got a big total, hey, you're the man, right? In football, I mean, different positions, body composition doesn't matter, but DK Metcalf is jacked. He's doing a lot of sprinting.
He's already ahead, yeah.
He's doing a lot of weights, a lot of sprinting. He's ahead of the game, right? So the way he eats, it's like he's honestly just going to be able to burn through a lot of things. And again, if you think about like one big meal, four bags of candy and a latte, how many calories that probably is, or it could be. If he can eat how I assume he can eat, that meal's a big fucking meal. Like a lot of the time that meal's huge. Cause when I do one meal, it's a lot of calories, right? So you can't underestimate that. And he's a big dude. So it's just like the body composition is baked into his sport. That's what I'm trying to say here. That's why I think nutrition does matter, because Donaher also mentioned nutrition doesn't matter, but it's rare that you see, you'll see a few kind of chubby high-level grapplers, but you don't see many. A lot of them are pretty lean and pretty decent shape because of the nature of the sport. The nature of the sport has you burning insane amount of calories. But frankly, when it comes to like just powerlifting, within the sport, unless you're paying attention to it, you should be paying attention to what you're eating, because if you're only doing that sport, you're not burning that many calories compared to everything else you do during the day and compared to other sports.
Normally, it's not more efficient to hold on to more body fat for most sports.
Yeah.
But then you do have like a Tyson Fury. You know, you got situations where there's like guys who are outliers in that way. But like, that doesn't mean you can hold excess body fat. Mm. That just means that guy has worked really hard to get enough conditioning to where he can handle lugging around that extra body fat.
And technique.
Jesus, being in the right place, the right time. And he's a tremendous athlete. So it's kind of hard sometimes to even see, like, when you see a guy like, I mean, first of all, you forget the fact that he's like, what, 6'7" or 6'8" or something?
Yeah.
And when you see him and he like sticks his gut out and he's like laughing about it and stuff, he's not the picture perfect athlete that we might envision in our mind, but that's an athletic motherfucker right there.
You people that are fans of UFC are going to hate me, but what is the black wrestler that has always gone back and forth with Jon Jones?
Daniel Cormier.
You remember that thing where he was like, this is what peak performance looks like?
Yeah.
That's exactly what came
to
mind.
Yeah, he's eating all that junk. Yeah, I mean,
but look at him.
Yeah.
Shit.
There's a lot of athletes that dominated that eat like crap.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth would eat a bunch of hot dogs before he'd go out and smash a bunch of home runs.
Jesus Christ.
Right? I mean, it's just.
So Google has Tyson Fury at 6'9".
Nice.
Wow. 6'9", how much does he weigh? Like 270?
Why doesn't it show that? Let's see. Oh, come on. Fucking.
I guess it's between 260 and 270.
He's a monster. Again, I think, you know, like, if we're talking about like a sport being impacted by your body composition, then you're going to have to tighten up your nutrition.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sports that fall in that category. Like, you can't be a fat sprinter.
No.
Like, there's not someone that runs 100 meters. DK Metcalf's talking about being able to run 100 meters in potentially under 9 seconds if he had a year to train for it, which is really cool. I love the guy's mindset.
Yeah.
Fucking savage. Because he ran like a 10.3, I think they said, at 240 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But just because he's carrying around extra weight doesn't mean that weight is useless. He is very, very muscular. So his point was like, if I lost a little bit of weight, even though the muscle is, you know, for strength, it's like, that's a lot of weight to be shifting around moving that fast.
You know, I think it is super important though. Like, you know, I have always looked at the basketball phenomenon when you have a lot of former pro basketball players, like you can tell Chuck or Charles Barkley when he was playing, like,
don't say nothing bad about Chuck.
I love him. I love him.
But his ass is as big as his table right here.
I know. That's the thing. When he played, you're doing all – you're running back and forth on the court. You're jumping and whatever. And then when you stop, but you have the same eating habits because you're burning so many calories, you just balloon up. That happens to a lot of former players of sport. Like, you look at former college athletes who gain 100 pounds. Like, I used to be in such good shape. But they had bad habits as far as eating, and they were able to get away with it because of the nature of their sport. They stop the sport. They don't have anything else that they do. They keep the eating habits. They gain weight. So for sport, like, yeah, maybe the nutrition aspect matters, but it's not as big of a deal. But for life, for life, that's why we talk about what we talk about, because we know that everyone's out here just trying to live.
Yeah, and then, like, does age – like, you hear about it, but, like, do we actually know for a fact that, like, age, like, plays a part in it? Like, you know, because you're talking about, like, a college athlete and then they gain weight. It's like, well, when they were in college, they were 20 years old. So it's like, now that they're 30, they're, you know, you hear about, oh, as soon as you hit 30, your metabolism slows down and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, all three of us are at different ages, and I just feel like it doesn't matter.
I think most of the information, you know, is on the general population. So what I'm always thinking in my head is, like, I don't know if they tested me or if they tested somebody like me or like us, those listening that lift. Because that's where a lot of the information comes from. It comes from people, like, losing muscle mass. And they'll say, well, you handle carbohydrates way different from, you know, being 11 or 12 versus when you're 45. But how different is it if at 12 – in comparison, like, do we have a study in comparison of a 12-year-old weighing a very specific body weight, eating a very specific amount of carbohydrates versus a 220-pound male who was able to keep his body fat in check? Like, you may have made your body respond better. I'm not saying that carbohydrates are the only thing that determine your body fat, but I'm just saying, like, you might have optimized some parts of your metabolism more being in your 40s than you did when you were 12, because you just didn't have any knowledge of that.
Yeah, I absolutely think, like, when I got my DEXA scan the other day, I was talking to the lady who was doing it, and I was like, have people come in that, like, maybe they were a little bit later in age? Because they say that, you know, you want to build up your bone density when you're younger, because over time, not only does sarcopenia, which is muscle loss, happen, but osteoporosis?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is bone density loss, right?
Yes.
So bone density loss. But I asked her, I'm like, I mean, have you seen people who have come in who, like, just started looking maybe in their 30s or their 40s? And have you had scans to see if, like, they've gained muscle and bone density? And she's like, I see it all the time, because people always come in that are doing weight challenges or body transformation challenges. Women in their 40s that come in and they get a scan 6 months later and they have higher bone density and more lean body mass. What you said was on the money. It's because a lot of these things come from general population. What does general population not do? General population doesn't use weight-bearing exercise much. General population doesn't generally pay that much attention to their nutrition. They're living pretty sedentary lives. But if you just add in a few habits, you don't have to go through those things. They won't affect you as harshly. Sarcopenia, I think, like, we talk about it, but I think, like, if you're lifting, it's not going to affect you'll lose muscle later on in life, but it's not going to be to the degree that a lot of people talk about, because you're stimulating that muscle. Bone density loss, you do continue doing some weight-bearing exercises. I don't think you're just going to start losing bone if you at least, like, a little bit slowly, but it's going to be way slower than everybody else.
You don't automatically get fat just because you get older. However, I think that certain things might happen when you get older. Like, I've noticed that, and this could be just because I've been on a path of, like, being more conscious of my nutrition. I tend to enjoy the foods that my body enjoys a lot more than I used to. Like, I don't want to eat foods that don't agree with my body as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely like a swing in that, but I don't know if that's like just maturity or what that is. You'll find a lot of older people, they start to move into like, nah, I don't eat that anymore because it hurts my stomach. Like they'll just flat out say that. And you're like, but that's pizza, man. Mm-hmm. Like we're talking about pizza, bro. Can we make an exception for that? You know, but you find out later on that like a lot of people won't make those same mistakes any longer. They won't walk around just being bloated, having gas and whatever else goes on with eating some of those foods. So you end up with a lot of guys that might be like a Tom Brady. You know, you hear so much about Tom Brady's nutrition. But what is the nutrition that Tom Brady had for him to get selected by the New England Patriots in the first place? It probably was real. I'm just imagining it was probably very, very like, it was probably shitty for a long time. Mm-hmm. Although his dad was like a coach, I think. So maybe it wasn't too bad. But he didn't have the physique to show for it. Now he looks amazing. Now he looks like a 20-year-old dude out there.
Dude, I feel the exact same way though. What you just said is like, I love cereal. Don't get me wrong. I love cereal and candy tastes amazing. But I just said the reason why I wouldn't do that is because if I have that just like boatload of sugar, I want to sleep. I feel sluggish, even though it tastes amazing. So I also like stay away from things that even though they taste good and I could probably have it, I don't because I just know how I feel after, you know? And you know, we've talked about this before too, how when you don't like, there are some people who eat cereal every fucking morning, like sugary cereal, and they feel great. I don't know about older individuals or people in their 30s and 40s, but I know quite a few people who have like a bowl of cereal and I look at them just like, you feel good after? And I wonder if maybe they're just used to it so they don't feel that way or the way I would feel after having a bowl of cereal, which is like tired, sluggish, and I want to go to sleep, right? Or if it's, I don't know. I don't know if the body just gets used to it and figures out a way to digest it and handle it because it's this consistent input. You know, do you get what I'm saying?
I do. And it made me think, like, when you're a kid, you don't think about much of anything.
Nah.
Like, when you're, like, so I even would challenge, like, how good that makes them feel to eat some of these foods. Mm. It may or may not be productive at all. Like, it might be as detrimental as it is to us when we're older, or at least the feeling of it. It's just that a kid can't concentrate on anything for, like, more. Mm-hmm. An adult can't concentrate on anything for 30 seconds either.
Yeah.
But a kid, we already know, like from study, like literal studies, that a kid's attention span is a lot shorter. And also, like, is a kid going to sit there and like play a video game and like chow down on cereal, like in between or chips or something? And there's like no conscious thought. Like a kid's not going to be like, "Thank you, Jesus, for this meal." You know, they're not going to sit there and like have this this like ritual with their food. As to maybe like an adult is like, I'm appreciative of this food type of thing. They might not have any sort of value assignment to the food that they're about to eat. So like that might play into some of it as well.
Yeah. Cereal. I can't like that. Now that I think about it, when we're talking about like, what was the last thing we had? Like I didn't binge, but like I had Lucky Charms cause they were there and I'm like, these are so good.
How'd you feel?
Oh, I felt okay because I had it with, a protein shake, like I use that as the milk, and I just said, I'm like, hey, because normally it's the box of cereal and then the carton of milk, and it's like, I'm gonna finish when one of these runs out. Like I'm not gonna get full. So what I'll do is like I'll make the protein shake and I'll put everything, well, I put the milk away and I'll just have the protein shake, so I can only refill it until I run out of my protein shake. And that's how I get by. So I don't feel like terrible afterwards. I don't feel great because I'm like, like I let the cereal win today.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, like, I don't know, less than 500 calories and I had at least 30 grams of protein. Like, it's not bad.
One thing I'll say that is a wonderful thing that you talked about is like, yo, take maybe some This Is The Way, or you guys don't have access to the Keto Pro yet, but what do you do? If you like milk, I like milk. Put that and use that as your milk for your cereal or your milk for, cause like I have granola that I use with yogurt. But I just, the other night I had some granola and I used some milk, but the milk was protein milk.
Mm-hmm.
It's ooh,
It's like I got like 60 grams of protein with that bit of granola, and it was just a fucking party.
Yeah.
So
the internet says that DK Metcalf has a body fat percentage of 1.6%.
That seems legit.
Would he? I mean,
that's so good.
At what point do you have, like, how much do you need to live?
It's funny.
More than that, I think.
Man, yeah.
I think, who was it? Was it Ronnie Coleman?
Yeah,
I think,
had like negative or something like that.
Yeah, I think he was on Rogan and he said he had a 2% body fat or something like that. And Rogan went back and forth.
Yeah, I think they weren't unable to measure his body fat percentage.
Yeah.
Shit like that. But yeah, who knows?
Man.
This is weird. Like, I'm reading like some of the stuff on the internet about DK Metcalf's diet. He says it's kind of a lower carb diet, and this is probably like from a while ago. He eats a lot of protein, a lot of veggies. For breakfast, he has a private chef. Eating a lot of vegetables, slices of bacon, and some fruit. I try not to eat lots of fats. And that's kind of about all it mentions there. But it's interesting. Again, this guy's probably had habits that have probably been pretty good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he sounds like he may have somebody that cooks for him. And it's like that one meal that he's having. I mean, even if the meal's not great, again, the overall amount of calories that he's eating in a day can't be that much. And let's just for a second, let's break it down. Like, how many carbohydrates is he really eating from these 3 or 4 bags of candy?
I assume it's maybe 200 grams.
200 grams of carbohydrates?
Yeah, because I'm
guessing less than 1,000 calories still.
Yeah.
So even if he was to eat kind of a lot, even if he ate like 3,000 calories worth of food, somebody who exercises the amount that he does, he's still not in like a giant surplus, right?
You know, I don't think it's as little as 50 grams. I think it's maybe each bag is probably like 120 grams of carbohydrates.
So I just pulled up like Starburst nutrition facts. So for 6 pieces, 120 calories, 2.5 grams of fat, 24 grams of carbs.
How many pieces is in a bag?
And so this one says 14 servings, but I think that's just like the big bag, right?
The big bag.
So let me try to find.
It's funny how we're trying to calculate this shit right now. Mm-hmm. I love it. Oh, man.
But I just don't, what do we know from Dr. Lane Norton? You know, probably nothing, right? No, I'm just kidding. Dr. Lane Norton would say that if he's gaining weight on the scale, he's in a caloric surplus.
Mm-hmm.
If he's losing weight on the scale, he's in a caloric deficit. So he must be hitting it dead on-ish almost all the time for him to consistently weigh around 240-ish pounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
It means he's not overeating. He's not doing anything that is causing him to gain any body fat.
So in a like a box that you would get at like the movie theater, so 2.5 servings per container. Same thing. So per serving is 34 grams of carbs, and there's 2.5.
Oh, so about
per
70.
Box.
Yeah, so about 80.
Mm-hmm.
2.5. That's about 80 something grams of carbs. So total 320. It's about maybe 1,300 calories around there.
All right, fuck it. I'll just say it. DK Metcalf, he's a genetic freak. And he can eat whatever he wants. He's shredded. So don't even bother trying to do anything fitness-wise. Don't bother trying sprinting. Don't try football. Don't lift weights. Don't bother to do any of that shit because you're just going to be fat. You're going to be out of shape no matter what because your genetics are crap and you don't have anything to compare it to any of these professional athletes.
And he's on HGH.
And he's on HGH. And God knows what else.
That was blocked.
That was bullshit. Right
it was
going
to be all the money, though. But yeah.
Right?
Don't even try.
I think that's a great way to end the podcast. That makes a lot of sense.
HGH, all the fat burners.
And he's rich, so why wouldn't he be
personal
taking
chef?
Drugs?
That's what it is. He has a personal chef. If I had a personal chef, I could probably.
If I had a personal chef, millions of dollars on an NFL contract, why would I not take drugs?
If my financial well-being depends on my body, it would be silly of me not to take drugs. It's just facts, guys.
Mm. Right, Mark?
I don't know anything about any of this. Take us on out of here, Andrew.
All righty. Thank you, everybody, for checking out today's episode. Please drop us your comments down in the comment section below. Let us know if you guys think this is all bullshit and he's, you know, should be eating more, or maybe he's lying. I don't know. Whatever it is, I want to hear it. So please, again, drop those comments down below. And subscribe if you guys are not subscribed already. And make sure you guys like today's episode. And follow the podcast at MB Power Project on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. My Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, where you at?
What was that he said? He's too busy to lie. At Seema Yenye on Instagram and YouTube, and Seema Yenye on TikTok and Twitter. Join the Discord, Mark.
I got to see DK Metcalf up close. I got to see Cam Newton up close. These are some special human beings. Like, holy shit. Yeah, they're fucking jacked. They're tall. They're so athletic. It's just Cam Newton's calves. It was insane. He's a quarterback in the NFL. His calves are like Encima's.
What's the other receiver?
They're like, what the fuck?
The receiver that crushed the Niners at the game I was at. Adams? No.
Oh.
For the Packers.
Oh. Ah, fuck.
Fuck.
He's like one of the best receivers.
Yeah. Saw him with Aaron Rodgers. That was incredible. It's fucking amazing, dude.
Yeah, freaks when you see them up close, right? Mm-hmm. I'm at Mark Smellie Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness is never strength. Catch you guys later. Bye.
Devontae Adams.
There you go.
Bam. Devontae Adams? Is he a tall guy? Yeah. Oh.